Request you to kindly come closer. Please be mindful of those who may still be performing the salah. Please check if you have parked your vehicle incorrectly and maybe obstructing someone. Please move your vehicle and come back to sit in the program thereafter.
الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقل لعبادي يقولوا التي هي أحسن صدق الله العظيم. Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders. The sahaba ikram, in order to bring deen alive, they even shed their blood. So to acquire the deen of Allah Ta'ala, to learn some aspects of deen, for that we have to shed some little bit of perspiration. It's a very, very cheap bargain and can't compare in any way with what sacrifices they had to make. So these are small little discomforts in the path of deen which really add up to nothing much. But inshallah, Allah Ta'ala's grace is very, very great. And though what we are sacrifices we may make, which really can't even be called sacrifice in reality, but Allah Ta'ala's grace is such that Allah, if He accepts it, will inshallah wait alongside the sacrifice of the Sahaba Ikram. In any case, in the short time that we have, one hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one Sahabi by the name of Amr ibn Abasa, radiallahu ta'ala an. He is among the Sahaba that had accepted Islam in the very, very early stages. He was perhaps in the top 10, as we may call it, in the first 10 Sahaba to come into the fold of Islam. So he says that I came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now he's just come as a new person, somebody wants to learn. He's come as a student of deen, so to say. He's come to learn, and therefore he came and asked certain questions. So he says, I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the first question I asked is, man ma'aka ala hadhal amr? Who is with you, this mission of yours, this da'wat that you are giving, who has accepted? Meaning he wants to now get some indication by the kind of people that have joined in, that what's happening, what's going on, who's accepting it, who's really taking to it, that will give him some indication. Now he's basically testing the waters. So now he's come just new, he's still learning, he's still coming to learn, still coming to find out. So the first question he asks Hadal Amr, who is with you in this matter, this deen you're calling towards, who has accepted? So now, there can be many, many ways in which this could have been answered. But nobody can fathom the hikmah and the wisdom fully of how deep that wisdom was in what the answer of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. And the answer that he gave was, hurrun wa abdun. Outwardly, a little unusual reply. Because the question is, who's with you? So he would have counted the names, he would have been familiar with the people, so that will already give him an indication. He would have mentioned the name of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, who had become Muslim right at the beginning, and he was among the very noble people of Makkah Mukarrama. So his mere name would be sufficient to say that what kind of people have joined already. But the answer that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave was, hurrun wa abdun. Free people and slaves. Free people also and slaves as well. Now in that era, this was a very clear class distinction. There were the free people, who were obviously the upper class, who were the noble people, and they were slaves. And slaves were slaves. They had no position in society. They had no honor and respect generally. They would be just treated anyhow. People would regard them as having no rights almost. This was still, Islam was still coming to the fore, and this was in Makkah Mukarramah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was himself under this siege, as we may call it. So this was still, the lessons of Islam had not yet reached the people. So in the times of Jahiliyyah, how slaves used to be treated, that was in front of everybody. A slave was a slave. And in mentioning this, there was a very, very big lesson that was given. That this deen is for everyone. There is no distinction on these bases. That what level of society somebody is from, what is his social standing, what is his financial position, what is his family background, or where he comes from, none of these things matter. What matters is that he has come into the deen of Allah Ta'ala. And as such, whoever came, whether it was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, who was the among the noble people of Makkah Mukarramah, whether it was Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, whether it was Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala an, and whoever it was, they were welcomed with the same spirit. And they were given the same respect. Yes, the levels in terms of who had greater honor and greater respect, Allah Ta'ala, that inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, those who are people of greater taqwa, they have greater honor and respect in the greater honor in the court of Allah Ta'ala. And then those who were of more advanced in their deen, it was natural that people recognize their position. As a result, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many a time some sahabi would be narrating something and he says that I came to see Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was in a gathering, and Abu Bakr was also there, and Umar was also there. In other words, this would be highlighted, that these person had, everybody among the sahaba recognized, this was the sequence of their seniority among the sahaba. Top of the list was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, and thereafter Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, and so forth. So in any case, that was a separate matter. But on a general note, no distinction based on these things, that who came from where, and what is somebody's background, and what is somebody's family lineage. Person came into the deen of Allah Ta'ala, was given that same respect, same welcome, and he was given those rights that every Muslim had. Yes, if he came in without having had that opportunity to learn basic etiquette, he was a Bedouin, he came from a faraway rural area, he never had any opportunity to learn how to conduct himself in the presence of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that respect, that manner. So he was excused on that. He wasn't taken to task for it, he was excused for it. He's come new. And a new person was dealt with differently. He was dealt with a lot of leeway, a lot of overlooking. He's still new, he has to be given time to come and adapt. So in any case, he came and he asked this question, that who is with you? Man ma'aka ala hadha al-amr? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied and said, hurrun wa abdun. And in this was this very big lesson, that this deen is for everyone, and therefore everyone has come. Though the numbers at that time were still very small. So in any case, now he's wanting to learn. So he wants to know something, so he asked the next question, that mal Islam? What is Islam? Now if that question is posed to one of us, so there can be many ways in which this question can be answered. And even in the ahadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on various occasions, this question was asked and there was an answer given. Jibreel Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on one occasion came in human form. He asked the question as well, Akhbirni anil Islam. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave an answer, Antashhada Allah ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. وَتُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَتُؤْتِيَ الزَّكَاةَ وَتَصُومَ رَمَضَانَ وَتَحُجَّ الْبَيْتَ إِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم listed the pillars of Islam. Answer to what is Islam? So there can be many answers to this, and many of these answers are in the Hadith Sharif. And provided whatever answer somebody might give in the light of the Quran and Sunnah, it will be correct, provided it's from there. But on this occasion, somebody new has come, completely new, wanting to learn. He's asked a question, Mal Islam? What is Islam? And the answer that is given to him, Subhanallah, the answer is Tibul Kalam wa It'amut Ta'am. Tibul Kalam, which we can translate for our understanding simply as sweet words. Sweet words and feeding. Now if a person, for example, somebody makes the hajjud the whole night, so he will himself feel, but shukr, not in a way of pride, and that to feel proud about is going to destroy everything, but out of shukr will feel, Allah's fazal, alhamdulillah, Allah ta'ala blessed me with this tawfiq. Let alone the whole night, he woke up in the last part of the night to emit the hajjud, he'll feel grateful. Alhamdulillah, what a ni'mat, Allah ta'ala blessed me. And he'll make shukr for it. And indeed, it's only shukr, nothing else beyond, besides that, because only purely Allah ta'ala's gift and ni'mat and his help and assistance, otherwise what can a person do? But now the person who recited Quran Sharif, he made some tasbihat, he made tahajjud, he did some of the righteous work, he feels the tawfiq of Allah ta'ala, he feels grateful, he makes shukr. But if somebody spoke some sweet words, he spoke in a kind way, he spoke in a way that brings some happiness to somebody's heart, does he feel in any way this was an ibadat? Does he feel in any way this too brings one closer to Allah ta'ala? That escapes the mind. Whereas the question was what? Mal Islam. What is Islam? And response to this question was the answer. Tibul kalam, sweet words and feeding. Now, this doesn't mean that Islam is confined to this. But depending on the occasion, depending on the situation, who the person was, there are many, many situations that are found in the ahadith, the same question, but the answers on different occasions are different. There's no contradiction in this. Sometimes it was based on who's the person asking, sometimes it was because of what the situation at that time was, sometimes something else, but all those answers are correct. But the point is, on this particular occasion, the question is, what is Islam? And the answer, sweet words. The answer, feeding. Because this has a very dramatic impact on the heart, and it creates a bond, and it creates mahabba, it creates love, it creates a good feeling, it helps to build up a society, it helps to build up a family, because when that will happen within the four walls of the home, then that will build up a family, and when there are families of this nature, then those kind of families will build up a society. And that will build up an ummah. Now there are occasions where even Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam sometimes sounded stern warnings. There are occasions where he even reprimanded somebody. So all that is in its place where the time and the situation warrants it. But the rule, the general rule, tibul kalam, sweet words. Sweet words is the lesson. And what a question, what the answer is. That's a very crucial part to always bear in mind. This is in response to this question, what is Islam? Meaning this person is not asking a question, he's come, simple person. Most of the people at that time were totally illiterate. They couldn't read, they couldn't write. There were a handful of people who were literate. He didn't come to ask the question, which library, which shelf, what volume I'll find this definition in. I'll find this explanation in. He wanted to know what is the living manifestation of Islam. If I am going to interact with a Muslim, I'm going to be living with somebody who who's a Muslim. So what am I going to see? What is going to be the manifestation of Islam that I'm going to see in the person? I want to see what is this Islam all about in a walking, talking manner. So the walking, talking Islam, you'll find, Nabi Kareem Salaam is telling him, you'll find sweet words. This is what you'll hear. This is what you'll come into contact with. Just to understand the sweet words, one is in our understanding sweet words, to talk in a way that is now very, very, maybe affectionate. All that is part of it too sometimes. Talking words which are not hurtful, not humiliating somebody, not just hitting somebody down all the time, picking faults on somebody all the time. That was not the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in any case, that is also part of it, but just to understand it in the light of some ahadith, some incidents of Sahaba ikram, one particular incident, that what is this sweet words, how it is applied. So the very well-known incident, very, very well-known incident of Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala. So Salman radiallahu ta'ala and Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala made like brothers, mu'akhat. Salman said to his brother Abu Darda, brother in deen, I want to propose for this daughter of certain family. Would you please go and take this proposal of mine? I want to propose marriage for her. Very well. So he came along, came to the house and met with the father, spoke to them, and then he put forward the proposal of his brother in deen, Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala, and he didn't do it in just some, just very, very dry manner. He explained, mashallah, what a good person Salman radiallahu anhu is, etc. In other words, he motivated the proposal. People heard the proposal was presented to them, they heard this, then they responded and said, look, as for Salman, we don't have any intention of accepting the proposal from him. So Salman radiallahu anhu, we've closed that chapter. We've considered it, but we don't have any intention of giving our daughter to him in marriage. But then they said to him, if you are interested, we'll get her married to you. So he thought about it. But in any case, they made their position clear in terms of the Salman radiallahu ta'ala that this chapter is closed. So even if he accepts or don't accept, if we don't accept too, that chapter is closed, they're not going to consider that any further. They made themselves clear on that. Now they are proposing to him. So he thought about it and then he accepted. So he accepted there and there. And this was the simplicity with which nikah took place, because nikah is that simple. Nikah is easier than performing two rakats of salah. Two rakats of salah, a person still has to go and perform his wudu first. It's a good thing to have wudu in any good matter, but nikah, there isn't even the precondition that a person must be in the state of wudu. And two rakats of salah will still take some time. It might take 2 minutes, 3 minutes. The nikah can take place in less than a half minute too. Though the khutbah, masnoon khutbah is to be recited, but that's not a precondition for the validity of the salah, of the nikah. Just to explain how simple nikah really is. But we make it very difficult. But in any case, now they put forward the proposal to him, he accepted. So when he accepted, whoever was present in the house, they gathered and they performed the nikah there and there. Now he finished off, he got married, and he comes out. So his friend now, that Salman radiallahu anhu, is obviously waiting for some feedback. So now when he comes to him, he's wondering now what to tell him and how to tell him. So eventually he tells him, he says, look, I'm feeling very embarrassed. Embarrassed about what? He says, well, I took your proposal and went, but this is what happened, this is what they said, and proposed to me, I got married and came. Now this is a very, very delicate moment. Now this is one example which happened in the lives of Sahaba Ikram. This, exactly that kind of situation might be really something that will happen, but the level of how sensitive it is, that kind of situations come up in our day-to-day life as well. Something or the other, which is of a very sensitive nature, very delicate, whatever the matter might be, but very delicate. And the whole thing hinges now in terms of what will happen on what comes out of somebody's mouth. Either everything will go very well forward, or just something might be said by somebody and it can bring a small qiyamah. Because the nature of the situation is very, very delicate. In that one moment now, that one line that might be said, it might take a friendship of a long time to a new height. It might take it to a new level. And it could just, in that one moment, just shatter everything. Because it's very delicate. This was the delicate moment. Now he says to him, this is what happened. Now he could have responded by saying, that, look, I was just thinking something is not right here. I'm sending you whether it's the right person to send. And here you proved it. You went and did your own thing and came. Now, Shaitan doesn't leave these moments. Shaitan tries to seize these opportunities so that the wrong thing comes out from somebody's mouth, and what the impact of that can be, Allah forbid. Now, he could have said something negative basically. But what he said, what is Salman radiallahu anhu's response? He said to him, you got nothing to feel embarrassed about. There's nothing for you to feel embarrassed about. I am feeling embarrassed. Why am I feeling embarrassed? That person who Allah Ta'ala had written for you, why did my mind even go in her direction? Now subhanallah, that line, that statement, what wonders it will do for their relationship? And how much it will build that bond and friendship further? Now what was this? This was Tibul Kalam. Finding the right thing to say in that moment. There's an incident of the grandson of Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala an. So now, Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala an, his grandson. And he was once upon a time in a very good financial situation. Then things turned around. So now one day his wife is saying to him that, these are really very, very disloyal people around you had. Very disloyal. He says, why are they disloyal? When you had good times, they were all around you. And now in bad times, they all disappeared. Nobody's around. And unfortunately, that is a common story. That in good times, a person has a lot of friends. And if things are not so good, then suddenly those friends also are looking for greener pastures somewhere else. So in any case, now his wife made this comment. Now this was also now a very sensitive moment, very delicate. And this is why the tongue is such a delicate organ, and so much of emphasis has been placed on the correct use of the tongue. So that was a very delicate moment. What comes out of the tongue at that time? Now supposing he said something negative, and that got then mentioned and relayed to somebody else. So I've now mentioned it to someone. That this is what he said. And that person will mention it to somebody else. Even in the time when there was no social media, these things should just become like wildfire. What can we think about in this time and age? Now that one negative statement could have gone, where not? Rather, what was his response? Tibul Kalam. This is the application of Tibul Kalam. He said, no, this is not about their disloyalty. This is about their good akhlaq. He says, what do you mean their good akhlaq? How can this be about good akhlaq? He says, this is about their good akhlaq. When we were in good times, they came so that we could be of help to them, and they gave us an opportunity to make their ikram. And when we are unable to do it, they have saved us the embarrassment that they'll be now around us and we can't do what we could have done for them previously. So they saved us the embarrassment now. So they're now just giving us the space. Now the same thing could have been said in so many ways, but one could have been putting somebody in such a bad light, and subhanallah, whereas that could have very well been the case, that they just deserted him. But he converted their negative conduct and he presented it in a very good light. What are you talking about disloyalty? This is about their good akhlaq. Now this is the message of sweet words, that to find something positive to say, even in correcting something, as mentioned, there are times and things, even Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam corrected in a stern manner because somebody had been told something and somebody had been taught something and he was somebody who should have known much better. And he made some blunder in something, some mistake. So he was sometimes corrected or reprimanded or disciplined. There are these occasions. But the general rule, even that correction has to happen in a positive manner. Allama Shabbir Ahmad Usmani Rahimahullah, his one statement, Sahi baat, sahi tariqe se, sahi niyat ke saath, be asar nahi jati. Sahi baat, the right thing, saying the right thing, but saying it in the right manner, and saying it with the right purpose and intention, not in order to just run somebody down, to just humiliate someone, score some points, to just make somebody hear. No, it is sincerely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala to help my fellow Muslim. Oh, I needed to clarify something, so sincerely, so that it clears the air, and that there isn't any bad blood, there isn't any ill feeling. So now for that purpose, purely for that, not for any other reason. So to clear the air, by all means. But now to do that in the right way. To say the right thing in the right manner. And with the right intention. He says this will never go without its good effect. It will have its effect. Sooner or later, it will have its effect. So in any case now, this was the first question he asked. Mal Islam? What is Islam? He said Islam is Tibul Kalam and it'amu ta'am, sweet words and feeding. Second question he asked, mal iman, what is iman? Now subhanallah, these are the most fundamental aspects of a mu'min, his iman, his Islam, the most fundamental questions that can be asked. And now he's asking this question, mal iman, he's taken one step higher now, what is iman? The answer Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave was, as-sabru was-samaha. Iman, the salient features of iman, the very distinguishing characteristics of iman. The iman that you will see, one is iman in the heart. Iman in the heart, nobody can see. The reality of iman is in the heart. That a person can be living with somebody 100 years too, he won't know what's in his heart. But the manifestation of that, some signs that will indicate what's inside. So sometimes there can be some sign, but maybe nothing is inside. But generally what is inside, it will manifest itself outside. So the thing that Nabi Kareem Salaam mentioned, that if you see this in a person's life, then this is a manifestation of iman. As-sabru was-samaha. What is sabr? If there's sabr in a person's life, then his deen and his dunya will inshallah be in order. His deen, the entire foundation of his deen is on sabr. If there's sabr in a person's life, then he'll fulfill what Allah Ta'ala has commanded. Now to wake up and to leave the house and to come to the masjid early in the morning, Fajr Salah, early summer morning, it requires sabr. On a cold winter's morning, it requires sabr. Likewise to fast, requires sabr. To discharge his zakat, especially now when the numbers get big. So now though he's got 97.5% still to himself, but the 2.5% is amounting to a few million, suddenly now it requires sabr. Hajj requires sabr. Otherwise he can't fulfill many, many good things. And likewise staying away from haram requires sabr. If he doesn't have sabr, he'll fall into every temptation. He doesn't have sabr, he will just go headlong into all the lusts and whatever shaitan just dangles in front of him, and he'll fall headlong into it. He doesn't have sabr, he won't be able to put his eyes low. He doesn't have sabr, he won't be able to rein his tongue in. Sabr. Sabr ala ta'at, sabr anil ma'asi. And if he doesn't have sabr, then some difficulty comes and Allah forbid, he'll start talking things that might endanger his iman. Lack of sabr He'll start saying things, he'll start blurting out things that might endanger his iman. These are unfortunately common issues, common problems. Lack of sabr. So one was sabr, and the other samaha. One meaning of samaha is some being very easy going, very easy natured. Doesn't have any, not a hard person. Easy going. But in the hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Rahim Allahu rajulan samha. May Allah have raham, and Allah shower his mercy on the person rajulan samha, an easy going person. And for example, idha ba'a, wa idha ishtara, wa idha iqtaba. When he's selling something, he's easy going. He's not driving a hard bargain, trying to squeeze the last drop out of the person. When he's buying something too, he's easy going. He's not now trying to now just squeeze the person to such a price now that that person is now selling it at a loss almost. He's being fair in that. He's being easy going. Doesn't matter if this person now, fine. He's not harming himself, but he's not now squeezing the next person also. And now he's demanding payment, he's entitled to it. But that too he does it in a dignified way. If there's somebody in a little bit of a hard press situation, somebody is in some difficulty, then he'll now just maybe discount it a bit, whatever. Allah Ta'ala loves such a person. Allah showers his rahmat on such a person. The dua of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for such a person. Rahim Allah. May Allah have raham and mercy on such a person. Rajulan samha. That samaha. That easy going. Leniency. The generosity of the heart. Now the question was, mal iman. What is iman? And this was the answer. As-sabru wa samaha. Sabr and the samaha. The soft-naturedness. This leniency, obviously within the framework of deen. Not that a person now says, no, I need to be very soft-natured and very, very lenient, so anything goes. And even the law of Allah Ta'ala is compromised. That is not part of leniency. That is now earning Allah Ta'ala's wrath. So now within the framework of deen, that soft-naturedness, Allah Ta'ala loves this. As-sabru was-samaha. So, these were two questions. Apart from this, there were many other things mentioned in there. Time is already running out, and besides, maybe the limit of how much of perspiration we are able to shed, that too much one time might become too much for us. In any case, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, whatever little was discussed, this too Allah Ta'ala make it a means of hidayat for myself, for all of us, make it a means of practicing. This is the main thing. The Sahaba Kiram, they came to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They asked things to learn, and when they learned, the next thing was it was in their life. One sahabi comes, Jabir bin Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala, and he asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for advice. I'had ilayya. Give me some advice. Advice, la tasubbanna ahadan. Don't ever swear anybody. Ever. La tasubbanna ahadan. Don't curse anyone ever. One lesson. He came to ask for advice, he got one lesson. And the effect of this one lesson, he sees my entire life thereafter. Apparently, this advice to him might have been that in Jahiliyyah, this might have been something common in him. This is why one question or one request, similar request, different people have different answers. This person needed this, that person needed that. He might have come new as well. And maybe this was an old habit from Jahiliyyah. One lesson he was given, don't ever swear anybody. He says, thereafter my entire life, I didn't swear any free person. I didn't swear any slave. As mentioned earlier, slaves were regarded as people with no rights. So if somebody swore a slave, that was regarded as nothing. What is in there? He says, I never ever swore a slave. I never swore an animal also my entire life. One lesson, an amal for his entire life. This was the jazbah and the zeal of the Sahaba Ikram, that they took the lessons for the sake of practicing, and then they put their lives according to it. They molded themselves in that lesson, and they lived their lives in that manner. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq as well. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin. We'll make zikr for 2-3 minutes and dua inshallah. Said the original.
La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim daiman abada ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. La ilaha illallah, 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allahu jalla jalaluhu amma nawanuhu. Allah Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah, Sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم واعف وتكرم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا واخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم فتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله